Hello, everybody. Welcome to another first run of Bald Movies. This week, we're talking about the latest Star Trek and the reboot series, the Justin Lin Two Trekkius. It's actually Star Trek Beyond. And also, we screwed up. Jim left town.
Jim is here. I'm Jim.
Jim's on vacation. He's in Colorado and could not join us tonight. So my girlfriend is gracious enough.
I have a name, you know.
Cecily. Who is gracious enough.
I'm a reality television star.
She's not all that gracious, but she begrudgingly helped out and stepped in and started doing, and came with me to watch the movie and to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
As is our want, we're going to give our spoiler-free take up front, talk about some trailers, and then get into the spoiler section where we can talk about the nitty-gritty. But first, just to put some context, what is your kind of history of Star Trek, Cecily?
I have one.
Is it a checkered history?
I watched my brother. I was always into whatever my brother was into. Uh-huh. So the Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Yeah.
With Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his name was, what was his, the name of the captain?
You know what? I resent the implication.
His name is Captain Patrick Stewart.
Jean-Luc Picard.
Okay.
I know that at least. You did do a fun quiz last night where I terribly failed, but I was very young. I watched the entire series, but then again, I also watched the entire season of Orange is the New Black last month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that either.
Mm.
So, it's there in the memory bank somewhere.
Not
as deep as yours and Jim's, though, so I'm sorry to disappoint anyone that was expecting a knowledgeable podcast.
Well, here's the thing. I think this is interesting because you've got kind of both spectrums. And I came home and did a little bit of research because I thought there's got to be some things that I missed. And it turns out that some of the reference to this were only meaningful if you were an Enterprise fan that made it to season two. And I...
Yes. So there were multiple times throughout the movie where you laughed and looked at me for some sort of mm-hmm. acknowledgement. And I just smiled because I had no idea what the reference was.
Right. So I'm a lifelong Trek fan, but I like good Trek. And it used to be, it's kind of like being, you know, you used to say, oh, I'm a Star Trek fan or I'm a Star Wars fan. Well, then you had to be like, well, I like Star Wars, but the prequel sucked.
Why does it have to be one or the other? Can't we all just get along?
Well, so, I mean, because they decided to make crappy Star Trek. Like, I bailed on Voyager about season two. I forced myself to watch the first season of Enterprise, and then I bailed on it, too. All the Scott Bakula in the world couldn't make me stay.
So which one is Deep Space Nine? The first or the last or somewhere in between?
That would be the third Star Trek series. You had the old series with Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. The new series with Riker, Picard, and Data.
Yeah.
Then you had Deep Space Nine. Then you had Voyager. Then you had Enterprise.
I see.
So I guess a lot of this stuff... I don't know, because I did not like this film. I thought this was a continued devolution of Star Trek films into not just fun summer fare, but kind of brain-dead summer fare.
I agree. The best parts of the movie were in the trailer.
Yeah.
The trailer was so exciting.
Yeah. I think that the plot doesn't make much sense. I think that the best... So I'll tell you about what this Star Trek does right is, number one, the special effects are awesome. They're both throwback and retro.
Oh, yeah. The movie looked amazing.
And like, just simple stuff, like the Enterprise moving through warp. And then somehow they used, an actual bubble effect. Like, it was moving through this subspace substance, and it was very cool.
Right, and same with the shield and camouflage technology.
Getting to the Yorktown space station was very cool.
Yeah.
They just go to a space station early and get refitted. And I thought that was... everything about that space station was amazing and high-tech and very cool, and I wanted to see more of it.
Right. It's like New York if they stopped throwing trash on the ground.
Exactly. And they lived in an Inception dream.
Right.
The other thing that they continued to nail, is the characterizations of the classic characters, especially... Right. You know, that's the thing that I think that came across in the first two movies is mm-hmm. that, you know, how much McCoy and Spock don't get along. They're kind of oil and water, but you never got the genuine affection that you got after watching them for three seasons and six movies. 6.5 movies.
Right, they don't mix, but they lay next to each other nicely.
But in this movie, I thought that they really did, you know, like, there was situations where you really believe the relationship there.
Right.
The relationship between Kirk and Spock was awesome.
And I feel like Chris Pine himself is getting older, or they just kind of aged him up a little bit to be about mid-30s, 40s? Mm-hmm. What is he supposed to be? But
That's the thing. I don't... So he's halfway through his five-year mission,
right?
Which means he's... And he got the commission.
He's three years into his five-year mission.
And he got his commission like as soon as he graduated Starfleet. So I think he's at the latest 30.
Okay.
But he does... He's world-weary. He's like... I've been in deep space
What I was going to say is that he, in a very believable modern way, did the William Shatner thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there were a few pauses and sentences that were a little too long.
not completely devolving into parody.
Exactly,
but
exactly.
And that's the thing. They do these impressions, and, you know, Carl Urban's got this really good... DeForest Kelly, and Zachary Quinn's got an amazing Leonard Nimoy, and they even
Carl Urban's got a really good Judge Dredd too.
Sure,
if you haven't seen that movie,
he's kind of an amazing character
right
actor. Like he might be the new Gary Oldman when all said and done.
Yes,
but the other thing is, I think that they even had some good, like Simon Pegg co-wrote this movie, and he gave you know, Scotty some juicy parts too.
Yeah,
so. I felt like that they continued to nail the cast moments, and that's where a lot of the humor from this film came from, is just watching, you know, McCoy bitch at Spock, and that was funny. And
yeah, everyone's performance and their chemistry was great. I mean, as great as it's always been for these newer, updated versions.
Yeah.
It was just the story was just off mark.
I do like, because it has a bit of... I mean, I don't want to say too much about the story, except for I will say that this is the first of the new Star Treks that have what attempts to be a message, which was a hallmark of the best Star Trek films. Star Trek at its best. And I think that this succeeded in having that.
Can you say, without spoiling it, what the message is, just generally?
Whether you support unity and peace or division and belligerence.
I think the message is being alone will drive you crazy.
So I appreciate that this is the first one that's got like something that they actually are trying to say, I think. But I just felt like the plot was silly. It didn't make sense. It didn't feel, in a lot of places, it didn't feel like Star Trek.
Right.
What I consider what Star Trek is, you know, it's no, I mean, they show in the trailer that Star Trek, that the Enterprise gets fucked up, but which that's like, I feel like, you know, the Enterprise gets destroyed in 1/4 of the Star Trek films at this point.
It literally means nothing. You can just make a new one like that.
Well, I remember like when the Enterprise was destroyed in The Wrath of Khan, it was a, not the Wrath of Khan, it was destroyed in The Search for Spock. It was a genuine moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was super sad, and that you know, the loss of the Enterprise was a big feature of Star Trek IV.
Right, and I felt that for a microsecond before I realized that they wouldn't go ham on destroying the ship if we weren't going to get it back, because you can't move forward without the ship.
Yeah, right.
You can write off Chekhov in some kind of way, but...
Sure.
You can't move forward without the ship.
And, you know, after I've seen the Starship Enterprise destroyed five times on film, I guess it's just lost a little bit of its luster, you know?
Yeah, it has. You can only see it destroyed so many times before you just get bored with it.
Yeah, and it's right. That's the thing. Like, to me, Star Trek is the crew warping around on Enterprise. The Enterprise is as much of a character as any of the crew.
Yes, absolutely.
And when this happened, not at the end, but this is like an Act 1 beat.
Right.
To me, like, you're already ripping a lot of what the heart of Star Trek at is. I don't know. I didn't have a good time.
I didn't either. I think
the action scenes just go on way too long.
I enjoyed Wrath of Khan so much more, I guess, because of the villain. I liked Benedict Cumberbatch's Khan.
You're talking about Into Darkness, the twist.
The second one.
Right.
I think the first one was good because of the character beats. I think the... good one had, or the first one had the best character beats.
Right.
The relationship between Spock and Kirk, notably. But Wrath of Khan had the best villain, and this movie isn't better than anything.
I think the other thing is what I was surprised is when I went on to the message boards to look, it looks like the... It looks like amongst the hardcore Trek fans that this is seen as a very good Star Trek film, which makes me worried because, you know, I pride myself on being a Star Trek fan. I will say that a lot of people that were digging it were seemed like they were enjoying a lot of references to Enterprise,
right.
the series that I kind of noped out on. So I don't know if maybe if that's the thing, like if you're a old school Trek fan, you know, and I consider Next Generation at this point old school, then you might be scratching your head. But if you liked Voyager and Enterprise and liked seeing some of that stuff woven into the, I guess, fabric of Star Trek, it seems like that's you're going to have a better time with that. But I don't know what else to say about it without spoilers. I can make specific examples. You know, if you like, I guess, man, this is a weird review because usually I would say that it's a no-brainer to look at this on, wait for this to come out on video.
Definitely, definitely, so worth watching.
But the fan reaction,
premium movie theater prices for it.
The fan reaction is so enthusiastic on the Trek boards that I'm reading that I don't know, man. Maybe
you know what?
Lost
there was
touch.
A couple that was sitting next to us. Did you notice that they were dressed up in full Star Trek?
Yes, we had James T. Kirk and Uhura sitting next to us.
Yes, and I meant to compliment them on their costumes, but by the time I left that theater, I was so angry that I forgot.
We had a bad...
It's not the movie experience.
We had a bad movie theater experience
as well. It's the theater experience.
But I don't think a lot of that colored our feelings.
But I
film.
Was kind of gauging my reaction on that couple, and they were really enjoying themselves. But
Were getting all the I started, you know, interacting with them instead of you because I was getting nothing.
Yeah,
nothing
were uploading them, and I just sat in the corner and cried, and it was fine.
Look at that,
great.
Kirk. Classic Uhura, am I right? she even had like the fucking old school tricorder.
Yeah.
It was made out of Radio Shack parts and stuff.
It was perfect.
The knee high boots.
Everything they had going on.
Yeah, and he was kind of like, because she was like classic Uhura from Star Trek. He was more James T. Kirk from the movies, the new movies.
Exactly, exactly.
The Chris Pine version, but it worked. Right. It was an old school, new school thing. Okay, so as is our format, we're going to talk about trailers. Now, these are all trailers I think Jim and I have discussed before, but since I got fresh meat in the studio, I figured I would run it past you.
Hey, I'm a person with a name and feelings.
Whatever, host. Suicide Squad. You have read the comic books.
I have read the comic books.
And you're a fan.
I'm a fan.
I think it looks like the most fun DC film that...
In fact,
I think we're down to 2 weeks away on this thing. But
August 5.
Yeah. If this thing is no good, I don't know what to say about DC films. I'm really, really hoping that this is the hit that they desperately need to kind of energize the fan base and win over skeptics like myself.
I can say definitively from the trailer, Batman's going to be in it. Which
surprising.
I knew before Batman v Superman came out.
I didn't. I haven't been following I haven't been following this thing at all.
Jared Leto has gone full-on Heath Ledger insane, because I guess that's what you have to do to play the Joker.
Oh, you're talking about not in the film, but like in personal life?
Yeah, like he's been...
Oh, I remember that, because a lot of the female cast members were complaining about him being...
He's been like delivering used condoms to other cast members and dead rats and like things like that. It's very bizarre.
That's what the Joker would do.
Exactly.
I did read an article about that. That seems like he's gone too far.
Everyone in the cast looks spectacular. The movie looks really great. I'm excited to see it. Yeah. So I'm going into it also with zero expectations.
Yeah.
I am prepared for every one of those people who I'm... have a modicum of respect for to just be silly.
Okay.
So I'm excited for Suicide Squad.
Nerve. Yeah, this is the social media dare conspiracy.
No, what is this? What is this?
It's
social media?
Is
that the name of that movie?
The Social Network?
No, the one we just watched where it was shot.
Unfriended.
Unfriended, yeah.
Yeah.
This is Unfriended with worse actors.
I feel like this is the Purge crossed with Tinder.
Stoned.
I feel like this is the Purge cross with Tinder myself.
Grindr.
What? You implying the gay version of Tinder is somehow inferior? Even worse or better?
Exactly.
Oh,
suit,
exactly. Shit. I got,
you read into that what you will.
I got outmaneuvered on the moral high ground. Jason Bourne.
I'm interested, but I've never seen one single Bourne
movie.
Holy
shit,
not
really?
One single fucking one.
Well, we need to fix that.
It does look pretty crazy when he grabs the wire that he falls onto with his bare hands. So.
Yeah, and it doesn't immediately slice through. You know, that's the thing. Like, I remember seeing that in a trailer and like, God, you know, this the Bourne Identity series has really fallen because nothing ridiculous like that happens in the first one. And then I happened to be watching the first one like two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And there's a sequence where he literally throws a guy's body off like a 8-floor fire escape.
Uh-huh.
Surfs on his body on the way down, kills a dude right between his
hits him
right between the eyes with a pistol as he's falling at the fourth floor, then uses the guy's body as a cushion.
Jesus.
And lands on the ground and gets right off.
Is
like
Bourne...
I guess I have to retract my statement that they've always been rooted in gritty realism.
Are the Bourne movies like, are they bloody?
No.
Okay.
They're in a very much an Americanized James Bond.
Yeah, Star Trek's very much the same way. Like, you can show someone doing exactly what you just described.
Yeah.
In, like, an Eli Roth version, you would see the body explode when you hit the ground.
Right, right.
In this movie, you
his
see Jason Bourne...
His ribs push out through his back.
Yeah, you see Jason Bourne hit the ground and have, like, a drop of blood on his forehead.
Nah, this is Matt Damon. He didn't have any drops of blood.
That's the other thing about Star Trek is... They take a lot of beatings without bleeding.
Yep. A lot of fist fights. A lot of conflicts resolved in fist fights in Star Trek movies.
That's how it's been. I remember a very notable drunken fist fight with...
I know. Like, you got Worf bayonet charging Borg and... Generations. I completely have whiffed on the name of the Star Trek with the Borg.
Oh, shit. Do I know more than you?
Should I just make a
wild guess?
Probably not.
Lieutenant Florg.
Nemesis. That's
yes,
what it is,
yep,
isn't it?
Yep.
Star Trek Nemesis?
Definitely.
Okay. Before I embarrass myself, boy, I'm really rusty on the Star Trek stuff. I think that is the last of the movie trailers. So
that's it?
Yeah.
There weren't more?
No, there weren't more. This is another thing, the reason this theater is so shitty.
Nah, I don't think you wrote some things down.
No, I wrote down everything. I promise.
If you didn't, they were just repeats.
But that's the thing. I was committed to doing
we'll
them all.
We'll get you next week when we see him again.
Well, we won't. Me and Jim will. You will be dismissed.
Jim and I. You fuck.
Okay, yeah, I'll take the week off. So, if you don't know by now, we do these reviews that are free, and if you want to get the spoiler-filled reviews where we kind of, you know...
Wait, I'm not getting paid for this?
Not this. You get paid for the next segment.
God damn it.
But we reserve the spoiler-filled reviews for our paying customers, our club.baldmove members, or Baldmove Club Baldmove members. And if you want to sign up for that, you can do so at club.baldmove.com. Lots of benefits for you. Go to that page to get them outlined. And if you want to hear the rest of our Star Trek review, you got to be a club member. And if not, we'll see you next week for the Jason Bourne movie.
Yes.
Next week is Jason Bourne, then Suicide Squad. All right. We'll see the club members in a spoiler review.
Goodbye.